Matthew chapter 8, verses 1. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. It's amazing. It's some, you know, this is what tells me that God is really in charge of everything we do here. Because the whole week, I've been praying and seeking God's face for what word to share with you today. And he said to me, continue with the character, but there are certain things I want you to handle. And he led me to this passage here. The simple title of this passage is, Jesus Heals a Leper. Jesus heals a leper. For a few weeks now, I've been talking to us about the Shepherd series. And for the last 2 weeks, I have been speaking on the subject, the character that God receives. And I'm sure that in that 2 weeks, I spoke so much about our character that some of us might have been here feeling down and disappointed and thinking that, hold on, if I am this person or if I am this individual whose character does not please God, then how do I ever get blessed by God? And so maybe you've gone home last week and trying so hard and doing a lot to live a life that is honoring to God. Be this righteous person. That is God indeed working in your life. But today, the Lord wants you to know that he is your healer. Today, the Lord wants you to know that he is your healer. You see, that bad character. Maybe I used some harsh words on you last week and you went down feeling so down. You went home feeling so down. The pastor says, I have a stinky character. If I'm gossiping, if I'm backbiting, if I am sitting with ungodly people, then I have a stinky character and God cannot bless me. Indeed, by God's grace, he sent his son Jesus to come and heal you from this character. Maybe your body, in your life, you feel that you are sick. You are not all together today. I was asking a sister this morning, how are you doing? And she said, you know, spiritually or emotionally, I am very fine, but I have pain all over my body. Whatever pain that you are living with, whatever situation that you are in, I want you to understand that today, the Lord is at your door. He is ready to heal you. And so let's go to the passage and read the passage. Only 4 verses and such a simple story that Matthew is telling here. This is also in the Gospels. All the Gospels touch on this topic. And the writer says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you do not tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Glory to God. Go and offer yourself. And so we see in this book here, Jesus is operating in his miraculous move again. Right, the writer of this book being Matthew, when you read this passage in the other Gospels, they write it differently and it happens in different ways. But Matthew is writing it is writing according to a certain order. He's writing according to a certain order. And so he had already been talking about Jesus as a teacher, and he takes it from when Jesus comes down from the mountain of Beatitudes. Basically, when Jesus taught on the Beatitudes, what we call the great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And the word of God says that Matthew comes down and, the word of God says that Jesus just finishes from there. He comes down from the mountain and the crowds are still following him. These crowds could be a crowd of all forms of people seeking him for all sorts of reasons, for all purposes. Maybe he was in, some people were intrigued with his way of preaching, how he spoke to the very core of their soul and their spirit, how he brought a whole different dimension of teaching and how to relate with God and how his message really reached them. Maybe some people felt indeed blessed by his words. But now Matthew continues and begins to tell how Jesus is not only a teacher or a speaker. If you really also study the Beatitudes, you realize that Jesus is not just a preacher. He's a very good preacher. He's a very good public speaker. Because the way he puts his words, and the way, if you're going to really begin to look at it as a steady material, and you want to look at the architecture in the way Jesus is preaching, Jesus is such a good public speaker. So maybe some people might have been following him because they thought, wow, this guy is very articulate. This guy can speak, and oh, wow, I like the way he puts his words. People might be following him for all reason, but at this point, Matthew continues to point out the miraculous part of Jesus, the healing part of Jesus. Jesus is not just on this earth preaching and pointing us to God and only talking and talking and talking, but he is also God on this earth, willing and ready to bring healing and transformation as people need it. And so you see here Jesus again doing wonders. Great multitudes followed him. They followed him. And then the writer says, behold, a leper came and worshipped him. A leper came and worshipped him. Children of God, if we were to begin to just break down this worshiping Jesus, we can teach only on this subject for every pastor, every teacher of the gospel, every person is acting, is doing, all that we are doing is trying to point to people that there is a God and there is a need to worship him. You know, many have taken this worship subject very likely. Many people have taken this worship subject very likely. You see, in the ancient world, leprosy was a destructive disease. It was a very dangerous disease. And as a matter of fact, if you research more, some people say that leprosy is basically, the writers have used the word leprosy just because the way it is described in the Old Testament and all in the ancient days, that time, the right word for it now would be leprosy. Because it was a mixture of all forms of bodily dysfunctions and diseases and viruses. And so you can imagine when somebody was swollen, was somebody, anything that didn't look normal on a human being, they called the person a leper. And so you find that in the ancient days, and according to the Leviticus order, God gave some instructions as to how to handle diseases and people with issues. And at this point, at the time that Jesus came, the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders had taken it to the next level. If you were someone declared to be a leper, you were literally left on your own. You were left outside the city. You were not even allowed to come and be part of people. You know, in that time, according to the Jewish law and custom, one had to keep 6 feet away if the wind was blowing towards the leper. So let's say if I was walking and a leper was coming towards me, and the wind was blowing from my direction towards the leper, I'm okay to keep 6 feet. But guess what? If the wind is blowing towards me, I am supposed, oh my Lord, to keep a distance of 42 meters away from the person. 150 feet. You stay there and I stay there. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You stay where you are staying and I stay where I'm staying. As far as I'm concerned, you are condemned to death. You are useless. You are nothing. You're going to bring destruction into my life, and I don't want to have anything to do with you. So stay that far and I stay here. And so you can only imagine the state that a leper would be in. And you know, many of us here, all of us here, are somehow lepers. You may be here. This leprosy in that time is a word. It's a word used for all forms of diseases. Somebody struggling from all forms of illnesses. And we are all seated here just because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. None of us here is perfect. You might be having your problems. I've been talking about character. Somebody might be struggling with sexual immorality. Somebody might be a drug addict. Somebody might be a drunk. Oh, this guy is a drunk. I don't want to have anything to do with him. Or even here, we know some of us are gossips. Hey, that girl, she gossips. I don't want her around me. And so, for some reason, because of your own character or your own doing, maybe it might be your own character or your own doing. Others, it might be a situation that you did not have control over. It might be some disease or virus or sickness that has laid you in bed or is going on in your body, and you feel like you are alone. You are rejected. Nobody cares about you. Or because I'm a drunk, nobody cares about me. Or because I went to fornicate, every woman, when they see me coming, they grab their husband. Hey, let's go. The fornicator is coming. And so in the church, you come among the people who are supposed to be your brothers and sisters, but yet still, you can't be around them. You can't be yourself around them. You are dying within, and there is no help. There are some people like that here. It might even be poverty. You see, these people were people who were poor. They had nothing. They basically depended on the mercies of people. If somebody remembered that, oh, there is that leper beyond the gate, then they would go and try and feed them something. It doesn't matter where you came from or your background or your educational level or when poverty gets you. It might be spiritual poverty whereby your relationship with God is not perfect. It might be emotional poverty. You are not sound in your mind. It might be physical, some sort of pain in your body that you are not whole. It might even be financial, social, economic means. While everybody have food in their fridge, you probably opened your fridge this morning and you just prayed in tongues because you don't know what to eat. And you might be a father, a mother, and you are asking yourself, how do I provide for my children? These people were poor. As a matter of fact, in the Middle Ages, when someone was declared a leper, they were literally brought to the church and the priest said their prayers on them, their burial prayers on them and everything, and they left them. Basically, you are condemned to die. Child of God. You and I, somewhere or another, might be leper. Might be leprous. We might not be all together. We might not all be in good state. But I'm here to tell you today, but Jesus came for you. And so after all that I have said, nevertheless, the leper came to Jesus by himself, and despite many, many discouraging situations, he still came. You see, he knew how terrible his problem was. The man knew that his situation was terrible, yet still he came. He knew that other people gave up on him as having a hopeless condition. Maybe you are here, you feel that people have given up on you. Maybe sometimes you even contemplate suicide. Maybe you are a husband, you are a wife, and you have done something, and you feel that even your wife that is supposed to stand with you is not standing with you, or your husband that is supposed to be with you is not with you. You are in a certain situation, you feel torn. You are hopeless. The man was hopeless, and he still came. He had no one who could take him to Jesus. Maybe you're asking yourself, how do I engage with God? How do I know this Jesus? How do I come to Jesus? Who will literally teach me Jesus? You see, I was fortunate when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was living in a house with an evangelist. God bless me, hey? Some of us don't have the advantage I had over you. Some of you are probably the first generation Christians in your family. When you accept Jesus Christ, when you accepted Jesus Christ, it meant that you had to know it all for yourself in order to be able to teach others who Jesus is. And so maybe you are seated here, and based on your environment and the people around you, you keep asking yourself, who is going to take me to this Jesus to set me free? You have problems and issues. Who is going to take me to this God? Can Pastor Barnes lead me to Jesus? And you see, maybe even my appearance alone doesn't make you comfortable to want to talk to me. You are afraid. This guy wears suit, he's well up there, and when he's talking, he looks like a lion. I'm afraid of him. And maybe you've heard gossip that this guy will give you bad things, he would insult you, he would deal with you badly, and so you don't also want to come, and so you are alone, hopeless, and asking, who will lead me to Jesus? He had no previous experience of Jesus healing a leper to give him hope. Hey, maybe in your situation, there are so many healings, there are so many issues that God has handled. But maybe in you alone, your situation, you don't know how God is going to do it. Maybe your situation might be the first situation in this world. And you are asking yourself, can Jesus do it? Because you do not know. Can Jesus do it? You have no example. He had no promise that Jesus would heal him. This man, leper, had no example, because there was nobody in that time that had been healed by Jesus. He had no invitation from Jesus or the disciples. This guy had no invitation. This guy had no invitation. Nobody told him, hey, come and let Jesus heal you. Some in the Gospels, some people were advantaged. They had people to carry them all the way to Jesus. But this one didn't have any invitation. And don't forget the kind of person we are dealing with. He is not even supposed to come among people. Jesus didn't invite him. Didn't tell him, come and let me heal you. No. Jesus didn't volunteer healing for him. No. And this guy still got up. Jesus had not called him. Jesus had not invited him. Neither of the disciples had seen him to even invite him. He must have felt ashamed and alone in the crowd. Man. Maybe you are sitting here
And as I came up and I called all of you, all of us, let's stand and sing the songs. You are singing the song, but in you, you feel alone. In you, you feel ashamed, disgraced. Something is going on in your life that you only understand or know. This man might have been feeling the same as you are feeling here. He might have. But none of these things stop this man from coming. From coming. You see, I always say to people, you have done the greater work of somehow recognizing on a Sunday morning that you have to be at church. You have done the greater work. Now your presence here matters. What you do here matters. You can go away today blessed or not blessed by your approach. This man had all reason not to come to Jesus, but he still got up. What a great show of faith. This thing might cost me a lot, but I will go. Some of you probably didn't even have the money to buy your gas this morning. You don't know how you're going to drive home. You don't know. But God is glad that you came. Child of God, you are here for a reason. You are in this moment for a reason. You see, nothing in this world happens by mistake. The steps of the righteous is ordered by the Lord, and his ways he approves upon. God has brought you here, and you are seated here listening to me today for a purpose. You see, the leper came and worshipped him. Despite his desperate condition, this man not only begged Jesus, he also worshipped him. You see, the Greek word, it's a verb too, which is used to describe this worship, is proskenein, which means it is the only Greek word that is used for describing how one feels when they come before the gods. And so this man came, and the word that the writer is using there is that he literally, when he came and worshipped Jesus, he saw Jesus as God. Brothers and sisters, your situation, I cannot solve. Your situation, none of us here can solve. Brother, but Jesus is the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords. And the word of God says that at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is God. You know, the reason Jesus was crucified was not because of his miracles. Yes, all those things are part, but because he claimed to be one with God. At this moment, this leper coming and worshiping Jesus is saying and seeing him as a God. Someone that is not just a human being, but carries the potentials, the abilities, and the power, and the authority to do the supernatural on the surface of this earth. And so my question here is, in the midst of all that you're going through, all your problems, your issues, how do you see this Jesus? How do you see Jesus? What do you think when you hear the word Jesus? What is your view of this Jesus? How did the leper worship Jesus? He worshiped Jesus by coming to him, honoring him as the one who could meet his otherwise impossible need. Begin to see that this Jesus is the only answer to what problem ever you carry. You see, some of us have begun to think that, you know, Jesus is a side thing. I can handle this situation. I can handle this issue. And Jesus will be the side. You know, I will go and see the doctor first. I'll go and see the counselor first. I'll go and do this first. I'll go and do that first. And then Oh, Jesus can come later. Some of us don't even remember that we know Jesus. Honor him. You see, give honor to whom honor is due. Jesus went to his own village. And he couldn't do many miracles there. He performed just a few and he left. Because those people did not honor the anointing, the power, and the authority that he carried as a Lord. And so they could not receive from him. And so if you are calling yourself, you see, you and I, we've done the greater work. I'll always remind you of that. Call me pastor who reminds me of my greater work. You have accepted Jesus as your savior. It's not enough. You got to begin to see him as your God, your Lord, and give him the honor that is due to him. This man did that. Leper, he was desperate. Maybe you think you are in USA. When you open your fridge, there is food. But how about you dying and going to hell? Do you have peace? When you lie down, do you actually sleep? The word of God says in Psalms that he gives sleep to his beloved. Do you sleep at night? Do you have peace? Do you have joy? Do you have hope? Do you have freedom in the Holy Ghost? He was desperate. He worshiped Jesus with his posture, probably bowing or kneeling before Jesus. You see, I used the NIV UK, the NKG UK version translation when I was reading this because I wanted you to get it from beginning that other translators, this worship that Matthew is put here, are saying that the man literally came and he knelt before Jesus. And he bowed to Jesus. Many of us have accepted him as our savior. We are not bowing to him. Are you bowing to him in your home, in your living room, on your mobile phone? What do you actually do on your phone? What do you do on that laptop that you carry with you? When you are with your boyfriend, what do you do? Do you bow to Jesus when your boyfriend tells you, I want to sleep with you? Worship. That's why I told you from beginning that if we take the subject worship alone, everything the child of God does is worship. We need to begin to see that we are dealing with the supreme God, the master, the healer, the everything. And he is a certain kind of person. And so I've been speaking on this character and I'm trying to now talk to you about how to begin to see him. His whole posture. Some of you here. Sometimes when I'm talking to you, I don't even feel like counseling you. Because your attitude doesn't tell me you will take the word that I will say to you. Character issue. And you know, I was taught this from childhood. I never volunteer advice where it is not needed. If you don't ask me, I will never volunteer it. This man realizes he needed Jesus and he came. His posture. I saw today standing at the back. Worship leader is leading us in worshiping. And some of us are comfortable doing our own thing. These things burn me in my heart. Are you worshiping? How can we be saying we are praising God, we are worshiping God, and others are serious in conversation? Others are serious on their mobile phone. You are doing something else. Our posture doesn't tell us that we are worshiping Jesus. Hey, your dressing, your appearances, does it tell anyone that you are a child of God? This man's posture reveals worship. He knelt. Pride is killing some of us. Many of us, we need to begin to work on ourselves. You know, Myself, I'm a living example of pride, the character pride. I grew up in an advantage family in Ghana. We had house helps. My parents were so busy traveling around, it got to a point that I had to go and live with my grandparents. And I had become so pumped. I mean, when I was with my parents, all I needed to say was what I wanted. Drivers were there. My dad had cars. And then I went to my grandparents and my grandfather said, "You have been spoiled. You have been spoiled." And I had to go through a process of grinding. I thank God for a godly man that came into my life from a childhood age. Many of us think we are in USA. I know my rights. You know, when you go to UK, that is the word that kills a lot of people there. I know my rights. And so we are also working in USA. Here, a lot of us think we know our rights. Some literally think we know better than our pastors. We know better than everything, every situation. You know better. Because I am not on your level, I don't dress like you, I don't look like you, I don't talk like you. You look at me and you judge me, you think you know better than me. Some of us hear the voice of the living God. I'm not saying this to intimidate you, but what I'm trying to say is that you need to begin to have a posture. Be humble before God. Only God can deal with your problem. Only Jesus can do your problem for you. Not Pastor Barnes. You can come and sit in front of me 20 years. You can bow to me 20 years. Look, I am not Jesus. I cannot solve your problem. I cannot heal you. But let me tell you, I know somebody. His name is Jesus. He loved you and I. And he came and he died on the Calvary cross. And the word of God said the third day he rose. He rose. He has the power over life and death. Jesus says, "I am the living and the resurrection." This morning we were studying this downstairs. Those of you who don't come out at 9 a.m. for our Bible studies, you are missing something. This Jesus, this guy took a posture of worship. And so when you come and you see the way I love Jesus, you see the way I do things. Look, don't be upset and annoyed and think I see myself better than you. No, I respect you a lot. Oh man, my sister, God bless you. I want you to know I really respect you. I came here to serve all of you here. But let me tell you, my relationship with the Lord Jesus, I don't play with. It's very personal to me. You can attack everything. You can do everything, but you cannot. Hey, you can vote me out of here tomorrow and I'll continue. But you cannot take my relationship with Jesus from me. Because that one is me who have to make that decision. Child of God, decide. Decide that you will be humble to Jesus. You will submit to Jesus. You will honor Jesus. You will elevate Jesus. You will exalt Jesus. Jesus will be important more than anything else in your life. That is what is called true worship. I have come to this place in my life that you can take everything from me. The mistake you will make is not taking Jesus from me. Any environment you put me with Jesus, I will make it. I'm telling you, try it. Hey, I was born in Ghana and I went to UK. You know how my fees were paid for me? I was paying over £8,000 a year. You think I work eight? Can I make 8,000 a year? No, I had 15 hours of study. I had 15 hours of working. And I was supposed to study as an overseas student. But by God's grace, my fees were paid and in excess. How am I standing here? I came from Ghana and talking to you as your pastor. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for you and I. Anything, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. If you begin to put your hope in Jesus, if you begin to trust this Jesus, if you begin to exalt this Jesus, if you begin to worship Jesus, Jesus and adore him and have a posture of humility before him, no matter what may come your way, no matter what the circumstance, no matter water or mud or situation that will come your way, so long as Jesus is with you, all things are possible. You are looking for healing, it is possible. You are looking for a child, it is possible. You are looking for a husband, it is possible. You are looking for a wife, it is possible. You want purpose in USA, it is possible. Hey, all things are possible. But you first have to begin to get the principle. This Jesus is not your classmate friend. He's God. You and I must begin to reflect on this Jesus and see him as God and give honor to him who deserves that honor. And when you have done all these, there are many things this guy did. He worshiped Jesus with his words. Some Christians, you don't want to hear them speak. When they open their mouth to speak, there is nothing like Christianity in them. And the word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Be careful, the people who talk to you. You should know by now they are not godly people. They are not Christians. But this man opening his mouth, Lord, if you are willing, if you are willing, he worshiped Jesus with his respect of the power of Jesus, saying that all that was necessary was the will of Jesus. Some of us don't realize, you see, when we are going to Jesus, we think he's supposed to do it for us. As if he reports to you and I. Lord, if you are willing, if you are willing, Jesus would have done it. This guy, it has to be that he wants to do it. Many of us, I listen to your prayers. We will be doing a series on prayer. Many of us don't understand and don't even know how to ask of God something. We don't know how to go in his presence. We go in his presence anyhow. And then when we begin to talk, we talk to him like he's our friend. Even though he has humbled himself to become our friend and level himself, be on our level, we think in our mind, we think he's our friend. But he's your father. It's your father. A father can never be a friend to a son. Even though the relationship that is between the two of them have to be friendship, the child always have to understand that this is my father. You and I are children of God. And this man gave Jesus the respect. Please, if you're willing, heal me. We are desperate people needing the help of our living God. But yet still, our way we relate with him is so off. You want to be blessed. You need his blessing. You want to be touched. You need his touch. You want to go to heaven. You've heard of this romantic, sweet, holy place that you want to go. But yet still, you are here doing your own thing. And you don't realize that you are preparing to go to heaven. You and I, we need to begin to give respect to him. But watch what happened. Lord, if you are willing, the leper had no doubt whatsoever about the ability of Jesus to heal. His only question was if Jesus was willing to heal. You see, take doubt from your head. Jesus will do it for you. The living God Almighty will do it for you. Your situation is not a problem for Jesus. He's the creator. He can do whatever he wants. He will create. Even if there is no whatever. He will call the things that are not as though they are. God said, let there be light. And suddenly light appeared. The word of God makes us understand that God is not limited. And so you and I must begin, when we are coming to him, know that he is capable and able to solve whatever problem you carry, whatever issue you carry, whatever mental state you are in, whatever the circumstances, he is able. But you got to understand this, that he deserves your respect. And the man, the leper, came and did this. Lord. And so look at the verse 3. Jesus touches the leper and he is clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was clean. Before this man would continue, Jesus touched the man and said, I am willing. This is somebody that normal human beings are supposed to stay some feet away from. This man was desperate. He had been doomed with this illness. Whether it was his fault or not his fault, he was seen as a sinner. And there was no way anybody was going to reach him. As a matter of fact, during his time in the New Testament, we see people, priests and leaders of the community, who boasted of how they treated the leper. One boasted that on a street where there was a leper, he was going to buy an egg. He refused to even go through that street to go and buy the egg. Another also boasted that he stoned a leper to death. That was how serious it was to be a leper in those days. A leper didn't have anything to do with regular human beings. So-called regular human beings. It was okay for them to have their illnesses and their diseases. So long as they were not called lepers, they could treat a leper anyhow. And abandon a leper and give up on a leper. And today, we have people in our communities and in our society, because we have not fornicated, or because whatever it is we are not, we are able to treat others like they deserve it. But look at this. Jesus, as the man does all these things, he reaches his hand and touches him. That was what the man needed then. Jesus was going to heal him anyway. You see, you and I, Jesus in the scriptures used all forms of healing processes. He put sand, he spat into sand, put it on somebody's eye. He said, go and wash it. He told another person, go and show your, go your way. And as you get home, your person will be healed. He used so many different methods. There were times he cast out demons. But in the case of this man, he reaches out and touches him. You see, Jesus can touch you in your situation. That is why he came. No matter how condemned you are, Jesus does not condemn you and I. Jesus has not condemned me. Regardless of how I am, who I am, whatever I do, Jesus has not condemned me. I am not saying that because Jesus has not condemned me, it is an excuse for me to live in sin and to do crazy things and think that, oh, I am not condemned. But I'm trying to say that there is hope for you in your situation. There is hope for us in our situation. He wants to relate with you personally. You see, this morning we were studying again at Sunday school. We are studying the book of John. And we realized by studying the book of John that Jesus and God, the God in general, handles all of us. Even though he came for the masses, he also has the potential and the ability to relate with us on an individual level. And so even though we are all seated here, we all have our different problems and issues, Jesus is supreme in such a way that he can touch you where it most matters than anything else. This leper came for healing, but Jesus touched him and he received cleansing, total cleansing. The leprosy wasn't only dealt with, but pure cleansing. Some of us, we need cleansing. You see, you might be coming with your waist problem. But when Jesus touches you, he will not just give you a waist healing. No. You are getting every piece of Jesus. You are getting the best of Jesus. So open up, worship this Lord Jesus, exalt him and magnify him, and begin to really open up to him and see what he will do in your life. He will relate with you personally. He will meet you at the point that it most matters to you, and you will begin to have this supernatural, intimate relationship with God that is never, never imagined on this earth before. The Holy Spirit will come into your life and begin to work on you. You see, when Jesus touched him, he transferred. Jesus will touch you by transferring the Holy Spirit into your life and beginning to shape you and to mold you. You will not just only receive deliverance from maybe some sin. No, you will also receive freedom of mind, peace in your life, hope, everything. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you allow him to take full charge of your life and you live as God wants you to live, oh my God, the Holy Spirit takes total authority and control, and he begins to deal with every issue one after the other. And so you become this whole human being. This whole human being. And so Jesus heals this man. And Jesus says, I am willing. You see, the point here is this. Jesus wants to heal you and I. We need to pray and ask him for help. But we need to listen to hear him. There are some situations he wants to deal with. Others, no. What you hear is what matters. You remember in Corinthians, the apostle Paul went with a thorn in his flesh. And as he prayed and prayed, he says that the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said to him, my grace is made sufficient for you in your weakness. In other words, I have decided not to heal you of this sickness, but I am going to give you the ability, the grace to be able to live with it in your life. You need to hear from God. This man had to hear Jesus say, I am willing. Here, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? What are you hearing? What are you hearing? And if you want to hear God clearly, you need to pick up your Bible. Many Christians are not picking up our Bibles. And so anybody speaks to us, anything speaks to us, and we don't even know that we are not honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought it was right. Why did you think it was right? Is it in the Bible? Listen and obey. Hearing is important in prayer. I went to God praying about a certain young girl. I had seen my wife, and right from the first day I saw my wife, man, things came upon me. I felt so deeply connected to this woman, but yet still I was being a prejudiced and still holding on to certain things. And as I was praying and fasting, the Lord said to me that the girl that I wanted to marry, he would give to me, but she wasn't his perfect will for me. And that my wife was in my life, and I was overlooking. That moment began to phrase my understanding of prayer. And by God's grace, as I repented of my own prejudice, and I began to pray and ask God, Father, I'm sorry, show me my wife. The Lord began to talk to me about Jumi. And today, I am so blessed to have such a woman like Jumi in my life. That woman wasn't with me last night. She's in London now. Oh my God. I couldn't sleep. Not that some demon was dealing with me in my bed. No, it was lack of Jumi. I missed her so much. I felt so lonely. That bed felt so big and the room felt so cold. And I'm like, man, what's going on here? God bless you guys. Hearing is important in prayer. And obeying what God says is very important. And then as the man gets healed, Jesus tells him, go and show yourself to the priest. And follow the order that was given you in the Mosaic order. Give your gift. But this man, when he was told, you see, Jesus did that to allow his reinstatement in the society. Because during that time, when somebody was with leper, when they felt that they were healed, they were supposed to go and show themselves to the priest and go through the process of reinstatement in the community. So Jesus did that to affirm what was written, the law that was stated in Leviticus, so that this man would go through the proper measures of being instated in the community. You see, some of you here need to go through the proper processes in everything you do. Everything we do. Jesus does not teach us to disobey the laws of the Lord. He does not teach us to disobey the rules of our land. We have to honor God even in obeying our laws. Honor God. And this man goes away, running through the town and shouting, "Jesus has healed me." This happened so many times in the Bible. You see, there is something to learn from this action. When God does something for you, tell somebody. Many of us are not witnesses. We have accepted Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. But we are individual Christians. We are not doing the work of the evangelist anymore. We are not spreading the good news of Jesus. We don't even tell people, "Hey, do you know about a man that came into my life and set me free?" Our ungodly friends come and talk to us about how their husband has done this. Have you ever stopped them and said, "Hey, you know what? I know another guy that can love you better than your friend, your boyfriend or your husband or your girlfriend or your wife." When you go to work and people are complaining about the boss, gossiping and insulting him behind the scenes, do you corner their people? Do you call them to the side and say, "Hey, you know what? I know somebody that can treat you better than this boss here"? Are we walking on this earth as living testimonies to the Lord Jesus Christ? I like it when Christians quote, "I will not die." You know, when we are sick, we quote the verse, "I will not die, but I will live to testify of God." And then you receive your healing and nobody in the church knows you are healed. Not even the pastor knows you are healed. And so you are healed and somebody needs your encouragement, but you are among the congregation and you are okay. We have to become testimony to the rest of the world. You see, the Lord Jesus said before he left that he will send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit come upon us, we receive power to be his witnesses. You see, and the Apostle Paul also says in the Bible that the kingdom of God is not of eating and of Mary, but of power and of sound mind in the Holy Ghost. And so you see that everything about Jesus must be powerful. If you are declaring that Jesus is this God, is this Lord, in what way does he carry authority? And that authority part, authoritative part, is not seen in the life of the modern day believer. When somebody tells you that they are ill, what do you think to do? Oh, you get okay, go and see Dr. Matthew. And sometimes we recommend the best doctors for them. You didn't pray for the brother or sister, and you recommended another doctor. Jesus. Christians. We don't walk in the power and the testimony of Jesus Christ. No wonder our community needs Jesus, and this is us here. Look at us. We are here. And look how empty the place is. We had to reduce some of the seats here so that the room doesn't look too big and we are just a few people here. Can you imagine if every Sunday you came here, you came with somebody. Or if you made it your personal effort to win a soul every month for Jesus Christ, to testify to the goodnesses of Jesus everywhere you go, can you imagine the crowd that you will pull for Jesus? Jesus has done so many things in you and I's life, but only few know of it. Why? You see, part of our worship of Jesus is also the testimony part. We have to begin the life of witnessing. Many of us have accepted him as our Savior. We claim that he's our Lord, but yet still we lack in exalting our Lord. Why? Child of God, tonight, sorry, this morning, actually afternoon, I want to encourage you that when you go home, spend time reflecting on yourself. It's time to begin to look at your relationship with the Lord Jesus and ask yourself how it can be better. Am I a worshiper? How am I worshiping this Jesus? Am I a living testimony? How am I testifying? God bless you, my dear brothers and sisters. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus that you be blessed, that you be favored, and that the anointing and the power of the living God will touch you wherever you are. I pray your total healing, whatever your situation is, I pray that Jesus will set you free. Leave yourself into his hands. Worship him and exalt him. Magnify him. Ask yourself whether if he is your Lord, is he the most important in your life? God bless you. God's face shine upon you. May the Holy Spirit continue to draw you closer to the Father. May the Holy Spirit continue to guide you and teach you. May the Holy Spirit give you sweetness for the word of God. May the Holy Spirit begin to pray through you, move and talk through you. Father, we bless you. We worship you and we give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a clap offering in the house. You know, there is a reason why I'm saying give the Lord a clap offering in the house. Because there are so many testimonies in this room that we haven't actually had the opportunity to talk about. You know, and for a while now, I haven't actually said it. I've mentioned it that the Gonzalez family have their child now. Brother Matthew and Sister Jasmine, they have a bouncing baby boy.